This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 8, 2017, The Epiphany of the Lord, by Father William Doc Holliday.
How the mystery was made known by revelation. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As we proceed through the season of Epiphany, we are always confronted with the manifestations of our Lord, these mysteries that have been made known to us, the Magi coming to seek Him, the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, also the changing of the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. These are all mysteries who show us who the Lord is and what He has come to do for us. Our faith is a faith of mysteries. St. Paul in the second reading today talks about how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. For St. Paul, the mystery was this fact that he was called to go out and proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles, a gospel that had always been reserved for the people of God, the Jews, by ethnicity. St. Paul, the Holy Spirit, kicks the door open to all other people who would receive and accept our Lord Jesus Christ in faith and obedience, knowing that they were sinners in need of a Savior. That was St. Paul's particular personal mystery. Our whole Catholic faith, as I said, is an investigation into the mysteries. A couple weeks ago, we had Christmas. The shepherds, they received tidings of great joy from the angels. The Magi, they see this heavenly body, this star in the sky, and they know that it means something tremendously special. They know that the King of the Jews has been born, and they investigate the mystery. We should do the same thing. As opposed to going into the wise men or into the baptism or into the wedding of Cana or the gifts that were brought to our Lord, I want to make this sort of introspective today, individually, not collectively, not we as the church, we as individuals. Are we manifesting this common thread that runs through situations in which our God opens the eyes of people to His truth and to who He is? Because each and every one of us will be answerable to that. And not only answerable for it, but it will also be tremendously helpful if we use the scriptural personalities as an example as to how we should investigate and come to conclusions about our Lord Jesus Christ, because there is a common thread. And as I said before, we each and every one of us has to think as individuals. Well, I've never had a mystery revealed. You're sitting here because a mystery has been revealed to you. There are a lot of other places that many millions of people are in the world on Sunday morning. Okay? They're doing what they want. They're doing fun stuff. You're here because you have had your eyes opened, or you will have your eyes opened, or somebody's trying to make you open your eyes. Our faith is a faith of mysteries, just like the mysteries that confronted the Magi and the shepherds. Our salvation is a mystery. God coming down and putting on flesh. The fact that we are sinners and the necessity exists for us to have someone else shed their blood for us, that someone else being God Himself, the Trinity, no one can explain it. No one should try. It's a mystery. It's a central mystery of our faith. God exhibits Himself that way because He wants us to understand, you can't get me. The Eucharist. How can it, the words of a mere mortal man, be said, and the Holy Spirit does what he says and changes bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ? How does that happen? I don't know. It happens because Jesus Christ says it happens. That's why it happens. We embrace it in faith and obedience. It is a mystery of our faith. Our faith is replete with mysteries that we're not going to get. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't investigate them. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't put forth maximum effort to try to get closer and closer and closer to Him. I said before that there is a common thread through how the people of God have always approached when their eyes start to become open to God's truth. Two things always happen. Two. One is effort. There is effort put forth in investigating what you begin to realize or what you begin to understand. And the second is adoration. Those two things always happen when people's eyes are open and they truly see our Lord. Effort to get closer to Him and adoration as we get closer. And that adoration ever increases. That's what I want to talk about today. Those two different things, effort and adoration, and as it applies to us as we, as individuals, investigate our Lord's mysteries and the things that He does for us in our faith. That first reading today from the book of Isaiah, from chapter 60, for those of you who like to take notes on that stuff. Isaiah chapter 60 is a messianic prophecy. And it started today when the people started to have their eyes open to this fact that we are indeed in the presence of one who will save us. And there are verbs that are used for these people that have their eyes open. They will arise. They will walk toward this light. They will walk in that light from henceforth. They will gather together. They will put forth an effort to get closer to Him. I pointed out the shepherds before. You would think it would just be sufficient that angels came and said, a Savior is born today. Excellent. How great is that? Do you hear that? Angels told us a Savior is born. Great. They didn't leave it at that. Angels came and told them something, and then they said, let us go. Let us go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. When we hear things about our faith, we just don't sit by, that sounds nice. How cool is that? We make an effort to go deeper. Hence the shepherd, let us go and see this thing that has happened. The Magi, the same thing. These wise men from the East, they come all this way. We're not talking about the days when you jumped on the commuter airline or jumped in the minivan and took yourself, you know, a couple hours. It took forth a bunch of effort for them to get there, but they were zealous for it. We got to ask ourselves the question, are we following this paradigm? Are we following this common thread of how people react when they truly see their own personal star, so to speak, when their eyes are open to the faith? Because we do all have our own personal star. And it's not something you see at night, generally speaking. St. Jose Maria Escrivá says that our star is the realization that we ought to live a fully Christian life. Notice, a fully Christian life. Not, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church on Sundays. Live a fully Christian life as a Catholic. He goes on to say that we should be zealous to take God seriously. Are you putting that kind of effort in it? Are you living a Christian life? Are you living practical Catholicism? Are you zealous in taking God seriously? That's what the effort is about. It doesn't stop somewhere. It didn't stop for the shepherds. Do you think, yeah, the angels talked to us, then we went over, we saw Jesus in the manger. Okay, let's go back being shepherds. Do you think for one moment that didn't change their lives. When our lives are changed, we start to put forth more effort to delve deeper and deeper and deeper into these things of our faith. That's what this effort is. That's what it entails. Not an effort into coming to church on Sundays. And if you look at the effort that they made, they were zealous for their effort. They were excited about what they had to do. Now, I'm not saying it should be every week. There are kid issues. There are I don't feel well issues. There are schedule issues. Some things occasionally crop up. However, generally speaking, you should be very excited about coming here. You should want to be here more than on Sundays. Most can't swing that. Most cannot. But we should hope, we should want to be here more often than that. We should want to be in the presence of our Savior. There should be a distinct desire in getting to know Him better. You can be 95 years old, a cradle Catholic, and go to daily Mass, and you should still want to get closer to God. The effort should still be there, in whatever capacity you have remaining, to get even closer. We're never close enough. That's the effort that is manifested. That is the effort that we, if we are truly looking and delving into our faith, that is what should be first and foremost in our mind. Making an effort to get closer. And as you get closer, the second part comes into play. The second part, effort and adoration, reverence for God. Once you realize who He is, once you realize what He has done for you, you cannot help but to adore Him with all your being. Adoration is the litmus test as to whether or not, let's use the term, you get it. If you get it, it's a consequence of your very life to get to adore Him, to want to revere Him, to want to do the very best you can in honoring Him for what He did to you, to act like you're in the presence of God. It is the common thread. Those people from Isaiah, who I said will get up, rise, walk, gather together. The same ones it finishes up by saying, they shall proclaim and praise the Lord. The shepherds, after they went to Bethlehem to see our Savior, hey, wasn't that great? No, they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Do you praise God for what you hear and see at Mass? The Magi. These guys are important men. They are men of social stature. A lot of debate. Were they king? Were they astrologers? Were they priests? It doesn't make any difference. No matter what it was, they were men of social stature. And they come into the presence of Jesus and His mother, and they rejoice exceedingly with great joy, and they fall down and worship Him. They fall down and worship Him. That is the reaction when you realize you are in the presence of God. Adoration. Not, yeah, it's cool. True adoration. Acting like you're in the presence of God. That is the question we need to ask ourselves. That's the question that we need to present to others. Because if there is no adoration, if there is a lack of reverence, be assured that there is a misunderstanding of who God is, and there is a disconnect with you knowing in whose presence you stand, or preferably kneel, or if you're like the Magi, get on your face. When anybody asks us what we're getting ready on a Sunday morning, and you get out, one of your neighbors looks at you and goes, where are you going? What's the response that most of us make? I mean, we can't help this. This is just what we do. Going to church. Okay. Yeah. So what? Going to church. If you're on your way to the hospital, generally your neighbor would say, where are you going? You wouldn't just say, to the hospital. Say, to the hospital to visit my mother, to the hospital to visit my aunt. You give a reason why you're going to where you go. You want to qualify because it's something important that you want them to know. Why don't we say we're going to a church? We're going to church to adore our Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we say that? I mean, I don't. Why don't we? We want to let them know all this other stuff. Why don't we want to let them know that we're going to church to do something, to adore our Lord Jesus Christ? It's just not going to church. Unfortunately, it is just going to church for millions of people who are sitting in them right now. And it ought not be. There ought to be a profound idea of reverence and adoration for where they are. Unfortunately, over the past 50 years, even institutionally, it has been presented to us differently. I actually did this yesterday as I was preparing, just out of curiosity. I punched up, and there are many, 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 many parishes throughout the country. I punched up, most of them have mission statements. Can't stand that. We have a mission statement. You find it in Matthew 28. It's called the Great Commission. That should be enough. But all churches like to have a mission statement. The mission statement for all, we're a community that's all inclusive. We're all welcoming. We do this. We're oriented with this. We want people to do that. We do, not one of them, not one of them said anything about we are a Catholic church who seek to adore our Lord Jesus Christ to the best of our ability with the most reverence that we can possibly, nothing like that in any of them. That's the mission, because we can't do the Great Commission if we don't understand for whom we are doing it. And when we understand for whom we are doing it, then we should adore him and act like we are with God. As I said before, institutionally, it's not presented that way anymore. Even on some of these websites, there is this word that crops up so frequently, relevance. Relevance. You ever see once, ever, in Scripture, where, like the people from Isaiah, yeah, we'll get up and walk if it's relevant to us, or the Magi. I don't see how relevant it is to travel all this way to give some little kid gold, frankincense. Melchior, you take care of that. Melchior is one of the wise men, traditionally, one of the names of the wise men. There is no indication in Scripture about the worship of the living God being relevant to you in any way. You understand who he is, and you worship him because of who he is. You adore him. You are afraid of him because he is God. That's the relevance. That whole thing about the effort and adoration, there should be effort in our adoration of God. We should put ourselves out. It is constant. People that visit. Oh yeah, I remember when we used to do that, and they're always talking about something we do out of reverence. Yeah, we used to do that. We used to use patens during communion. Why did you use patens during communion? So Jesus didn't fall on the floor. Why is it okay for Jesus to fall on the floor now? The vast majority of Catholics think it's the Catholic way to receive communion in the hand. Do you know that the indult, and you need a special permission from Rome to do that, because you need a special permission because Catholics have never done that. Ever. That permission was not granted until 1977. You know, I'm a spring chicken, but I'm not decrepit either. I was 15 years old when special permission was given to people to receive the Lord of Glory in their grubby mitts. Well, you shouldn't say that because everybody... That's what it is. Your hands touch the steering wheel, the car handles, the door handles. They're all over the back of these pews where people cough and sneeze. You have coughed and sneezed and covered your mouth, and you're going to come up and you're going to put the God of all creation in that. That is irreverent. It is irreverent. Everybody does. Guess what? You don't have to. That's up to you. You don't have to receive the Lord in your hand. You ought not receive the Lord in your hand. It's irreverent. That's the way people... Okay, so we have institutional irreverence. My point. We should put forth the absolute effort to communicate the fact that we are in the presence of the living God. You should prepare yourself to be in His presence. When you walk in the church, it should be quiet because before Mass starts, you should be preparing yourself individually to be in the presence of Almighty God on this altar. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. You should be preparing yourself. You ought not be jaw-jacking with your neighbor. It's not a manifestation of the vitality of the parish. It's rude. It's rude. It's disrespectful. That's what it is. Period. It's irreverent. That's why you don't clap in church. How often do you see it when you go other places? What's wrong with clapping? Every time clapping starts, it's because of something human. I liked that priest's homily. Hey, let me make an announcement. So and so, we're clapping for individual. This is not our time. This is God's time. They never applaud for Him. He doesn't want your applause. He doesn't need you to let Him know He's God and special. You just should act like that. And clapping doesn't cut it. He doesn't need you to do it. Pope Benedict XVI says that if applause erupts in a church, the entire understanding of what the Mass is about is gone. If applause erupts in church, think of what you see around you. It would be bad enough if it was once or twice. And it's constant. It's irreverent. That's all there is to it. We need to adore our Lord. We need to approach Him with reverence. And there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. Because when you do it, you get closer to Him. Through reverence and devotion, you will get closer to Jesus Christ. I was reading a prayer card just this week, and it was the intercession for St. Padre Pio. And one of the parts said, and I quote, "With reverence and devotion in the celebration of Mass, he invited countless people to a greater union with Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the Eucharist. If the holy sacrifice of the Mass is celebrated with reverence and devotion, that will bring countless souls closer to Jesus Christ. And the closer you get to Him, the more effort you will make to know Him, and the more you will adore Him. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost."